time for Dean Richards Entertainment News, sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. And this is not a Mickey Mouse operation. It's the Dean Richards Entertainment News. And I can use Mickey Mouse now in the introduction because it's public domain.
Yeah, it could be. If you don't mind, from now on, if you could call me Steamboat Dean, that would be fantastic. Welcome back, by the way. You were missed.
Thank you.
And happy New Year.
Same to you.
Yeah, Steamboat Willie, that version of Mickey Mouse is now in the public domain, which means that it can be used without compensation to the Disney company. It's been around. The original Steamboat Willie, Mickey Mouse, has been around since 1928. So the 95-year-old copyright on it has expired. And just like Winnie the Pooh a couple of years ago, anybody can use that incarnation of Mickey Mouse, not the current incarnation when they changed the way Mickey looked and all that. That's still under strict Disney lock and key. But the way they took Winnie the Pooh and they turned it into a slasher film a couple of years ago, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, they can now do that to Mickey Mouse. And believe it or not, somebody has already started a version of that. So I don't know how soon we're going to see that in theaters, but we are definitely going to see a Mickey Mouse slasher film.
Oh, great.
So happy New Year, everyone.
Walt's turning in the grave.
Oh, my goodness.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction was broadcast last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. For the first time ever, they streamed it live on Disney Plus when it happened last November, but they aired it last night. I think it was on ABC, and they showed the induction of a couple of Chicagoans, Chaka Khan, and also Don Cornelius of Soul Train fame, along with Rage Against the Machine, the late George Michael, the Spinners, the legendary guitarist Link Wray, Al Kooper, the great Willie Nelson, DJ Kool, Herc, Kate Bush, Sheryl Crow, Bernie Taupin, Elton John's writing partner, Missy Elliott. Now, you know, people are going to argue who's rock and roll and who's not rock and roll and who belongs and who doesn't. That happens all the time. But what we did wind up getting were some pretty cool performances. I have just a few of them here from last night's show.
All the clubs are tired of dancing, and countless headlights on the highway.
On the road again. I can't wait to get on the road again. The life I live is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
God bless that Willie Nelson, 90 years old, and listen to him picking that guitar. His guitar, apparently, it's the first guitar he ever had. It was actually worn out. There were holes in the face of the guitar because he's played it, apparently, most of his career. But he was joined on stage by Sheryl Crow and Chris Stapleton and Dave Matthews. That was Adam Levine, who was doing tribute to George Michael, who is no longer with us, but Missy Elliott performed, and Elton John inducted his longtime writing partner, Bernie Taupin. It was a really fun show, really some really great performances last night.
And we didn't see an ashtray in Willie's guitar, did we?
I did not notice an ashtray. I did not notice any empty Twinkie wrappers or Frito bags or anything that might quench the munchies that one might have during a performance. But you know what? 90 years old and out on stage and sounding good and performing, God bless him.
I was watching this video online. I forget where I saw it, of this brawl with bikers and this 90210 actor. And I'm still confused as to what started this. Do we know?
It's not entirely clear what happened, but I mean, first of all, when you say that there was a biker brawl, you think of Harleys and, you know, Hell's Angels. Apparently, these were a group of you know, thugs on mini bikes. It wasn't even like biker bikes, you know, that we think of. But this actor, whose name is Ian Ziering, he's one of the stars of the new 90210, Beverly Hills 90210, was driving in his vehicle with his daughter, and a mini bike pulls up against his vehicle and aggressively approaches the vehicle. He made the mistake of getting out of the car and confronting the rider, and these two just started throwing punches at each other. Suddenly, other mini bikers showed up, and they got into the fight also, and it was, you know, one against, like, 10, something like that. Eventually, Ziering, the actor, ran off. He's okay. Daughter is okay. And, you know, his only comment was, you know, the boldness of these groups that are attacking people in public safety right now. I think a lot of us feel that way.
Yeah.
Whether you've been attacked or not, you see, you know, people getting carjacked. You see people, you know, just walking down the street and somebody comes and knocks them on the head and takes their purse. You know, the boldness of a lot of the criminal activity now is what he was talking about and why he said he wanted to fight back. But no arrests were made. The incident is under investigation in Los Angeles right now. So hopefully that's not a trend for the new year.
Pretty crazy. One of Mexico's most acclaimed actresses has passed away, and people may recognize her voice, if nothing else,
yeah,
right, Dean?
Very definitely. She is Ana Ofelia Murguia. And she spent, like, the last 50 years in film and TV in Spanish-language markets. She was part of the golden age of Mexican cinema. She's been in several Spanish-language films, including the 1995 movie Nobody Will Speak of Us When We're Dead. She passed away and probably will be best remembered as the voice of Mama Coco in the very touching Disney animated movie Coco. She was the grandmother in that, who the little boy sang the song "Remember Me." Just one of the most touching moments, really, in animated film, in film period. I don't know how you can even watch that scene and not tear up, but she was the voice of the grandmother in that. No cause of death announced. She was 90 years old.
What's the movie business report this morning?
Yeah, it was a pretty good holiday weekend, at least for some films anyway. Aquaman started off strong for the holiday period, and then once word got out about how mediocre it was, it fell off at the box office. And it turns out the big winner of the holiday weekend, both for Christmas and New Year's, was Wonka. Just this past weekend, Wonka took in another $22.7 million. Yesterday, for New Year's Day, it took in another $7 million. So it had a huge New Year's weekend. Its total domestic gross now is $140 million. Globally, $400 million. And it is such a good movie. It's perfect for the whole family. It's entertaining. It's beautiful. It's colorful. A lovely story. Nice song and dance. Timothy Chalamet is great. Hugh Grant steals the movie as the Oompa Loompa. I can't recommend it enough. I wound up giving it a Dean's List A. But then after that, at the box office, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom fell down to the number two spot. It was the animated film Migration after that, The Color Purple, and then the rom-com Anyone But You. So lots of good stuff out there that people seem to go out and enjoy.
I bet when you went to the screening of Willy Wonka, you were in a very good mood for some reason. Were you?
Yeah, I guess I was. Why? What do you mean? Because I liked it?
Yeah, you gave it an A, right?
I did.
Yeah. Well, I didn't like the music, the acting, or the script. Otherwise, I thought it was fine, but
really?
I don't know. Maybe I was in a bad mood when I went to see it.
You know, like, as I always think of what the great Roy Leonard said, There's the reason that Baskin Robbins sells 31 flavors.
I guess.
There's a little something for everybody out there. No, I absolutely did love it. I loved that it had so many Easter eggs in it, referring back to the Gene Wilder version of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I thought that Timothée Chalamet did justice to the Willy Wonka character. Just, you know, hinting enough, because it's an origin story. It's how Willy Wonka came to be. You didn't like Hugh Grant as the Oompa Loompa?
Well, you know what? Every time I saw him come on screen, I just thought, now I know why he was bashing the movie and said all those terrible things about it.
Well, go see it and make up your own mind. As Roy said, there's a reason why Baskin Robbins sells 31 flavors. I say that, you know, a review is just somebody's opinion of it. So, there's no such thing as a wrong opinion. Everyone has their own take on it.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. Let's get to New Year's Eve. Anderson Cooper
and the
review of his performance that night.
Oh, Anderson Cooper couldn't have been nuttier. Those two guys that do the New Year's Countdown show on CNN, Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper, they're kind of known for being silly, and I don't know if alcohol was involved. I only watched like little bits and pieces of it, because I actually went to Teatro Zanzani for New Year's Eve. I could not have found a better way to ring in the new year. It's a whole new Teatro Zanzani, new performances, but the same concept of music and comedy and acrobatics and some light circus acts served with dinner. It was just such a delightful dinner. The band that they have now is amazing. The singers they have are amazing. If you get a chance, you want some complete entertainment, I can't recommend Teatro Zanzani enough. It was really fun, but I did tape the New Year's Eve shows, because often there are some pretty weird things that happen. For example, I guess on Channel 5's Countdown show, Billy Corgan sang an original song of his, and then did this weird tribute to the character Wizzo from the Bozo show that I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like, it's a surreal, somebody was dressed up in a Wizzo costume. I'm told it might have been Marshall Bernstein's son dressed that way. Completely surreal for the New Year's Countdown. Yeah. I heard that the Channel 7 show had that, they have their big traditional dance number that was spectacular. But over on CNN, Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper are interviewing people in different time zones where the New Year's had come in. They're interviewing John Mayer in Japan, in Tokyo, who is at a bar, a cat bar, where you sit and have a drink, and there are 20, 30 cats running around all over the place. And while John Mayer is talking and explaining it, cats are all over the place. And Anderson Cooper could not stop laughing during the whole thing.
Yes, we are at a cat bar. It's called Cats in the Box in Tokyo, celebrating New Year's. We're already halfway through the first day of 2024.
John...
I'm here with
John,
Shin and five other proprietors of the bar.
Talk to me about this bar. You're in the bar, and there are cats everywhere.
Yes.
They are licking each other.
There are cats.
Yes.
Yes, this is a... This is a place you can come, enjoy a drink or two, and talk to cats. It's a cat bar. I mean, I don't know how much more clear I can be about the objective of this place.
That's Anderson Cooper laughing?
That's Anderson Cooper giggling like a little girl, yes.
Oh, he had to have a shot or two. He was under the influence of something.
I will have whatever he's having. I don't know if I'm more interested in that or the concept of a cat bar. How do we not have one of those in Chicago?
Yeah, I'd kind of like that, actually. But it'd be more fun than going to see Willy Wonka. I think we have exhausted our entertainment report today. Thank you, Dean. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.